thanks for making me sound really good there, Bob. That's awesome. Okay, first reading today is Isaiah 40, verses 28 to 31. Have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. And the second reading, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 to 27. Don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I am not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified.
Thank you very much, Sherry. Well, over the last month, the media has been broadcasting the events of the Winter Olympics. How many of you have been watching that? It's been quite interesting. Good. And today actually marks the close of the Paralympics. For weeks, months, and years, the young people that have gathered to have the Olympics have been preparing for the race of their life. Whether it be an elegant performance on ice or a grueling marathon on skis down a snow-covered slope, the name of the game is to win gold. But what happens to those who do not win gold? The skier who misses the end mark by a fraction of a second. The skater who falls on the final jump after a perfect performance. In every sport, only one victor wins a victory. And at the Olympics, much the same as in life, only gold seems to count. However, there are two problems with winning gold. First of all, very few people in the world will ever win a gold medal. And the second issue is that the gold does last a long time, but the victory doesn't last long. Very soon there are other winners who will come in and achieve gold ahead of those who have done that. And I often think about the figure skaters that we've seen down through the years, and names like Kurt Browning and Karen, what was her last name?
Magnuson.
You know, they have these gold medals, but people probably don't think about them in terms of their Olympic wins. They think about them in terms of what they've done in their lives. So winning is really reserved for just a few, and even these victories pass in the night. So my question to you this morning is, what are you in racing for? What prize are you competing for? What does winning gold mean to you in your life? And what is the most important victory that you have ever achieved? Well, I know Doug is pretty much a winner when it comes to baseball. I've learned about that over the years. And some people do achieve very well in their lives through athletics. And I'm very proud when I hear of people that have done well. But is it really about winning gold or having a medal? Or is it about a race for acceptance by others? Some people spend their whole life racing to be acknowledged and seen by others, even if it means they bully others. Some people, and I see them in my practice every day, are in life and the race of life to earn money. That's all it's about, earning money. For some, it's a race for self-fulfillment. They want to feel zenned out at the end of the day. And for some, it's a race of revenge. How can I be brutally bullying, persuasive, mean-hearted to get even with those who've done me wrong? Perhaps the race that we are running is simply existing, and some people run that race. They simply exist, day in, day out, being comfortable, not wanting to change, just being the way they've always been. Some people will say to me, "Carol, I don't have any desire to grow in my Christian faith. I'm a Christian. I accepted Christ, that's all. That's the end. I don't need any more than that. When I die, I'll go to heaven. That's it." Some look at me and say, "Do you really mean if I'm a Christian, I have to pray? Do you know how boring praying is? Don't ask me to pray, and heaven forbid if I have to pray in front of anyone." Some people will say, "Oh, the worst word in the Christian faith is the word evangelism. Those horrendous Christians that are passing out tracts and trying to save everybody in the world. I don't want to ever do that. That word evangelism, put it over there and bury it." Some people just say, "I'm a Christian, but I really don't know where it'll take me. I'm just kind of drifting along. I go to church. I sing in the choir. I count the money every now and then just to see how much everybody's giving. And I might think about sitting on the board from time to time. I certainly would never, ever volunteer to read a scripture or pray. Oh, heaven forbid." And if anyone asks them to move from their pew, oh my goodness, there is quite an uproar in the church. I can remember being in the church, and I do remember this. I had never been there before, and I sat in someone's pew. Do you know what happened? I got stared out of that pew. The person came and literally stood beside me and stared at me until I finally said to them, "Is there something wrong?" And they grumbled, "You're in my pew." Okay, I got up and left. I went to the back. I didn't go out. I went to the back of the church. We are in an interesting journey because we're running a race. And a race is more than simply existing as Christians. In Hebrews 12, verse 1, we read, "Let us also lay aside every weight and sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us." The Apostle Paul obviously knew all about races because in his society, when you raced, you won the prize of an olive branch. But as the scripture that Sherry read today said, it perishes, it disappears. Our gold medallions last longer than an olive branch for sure. But in Paul's day, that's what they were racing for. But Paul also speaks about another race, a race in which each of us have entered, a race in which the stakes are very high. You see, the race that Paul is speaking about is the race of faith, and the prize is worth much more than gold. It's worth life itself, and eternity is on the line. I really appreciated hearing these words out of 1 Corinthians. And Sherry, what version of the Bible did you read out of?
New Living Translation.
Yeah, so it was a good version because it made it very clear to us. But I have a question for you today. How can we, as Christians, win the race of faith? I mean, what does that really mean to win? What is Paul really talking about here? Well, I think, first of all, we must look around at ourselves. And if we look at each other and at our own selves, many are counting on us to run the race well. They're watching to see if we will follow the rules. They're watching to see if we're winners or quitters. And they're looking to see what our goals are in running the race of faith. And someone else is watching us too, and that's God. Unlike the athletes competing in the Olympics, we do not run the race of faith alone. When we utter those words of confession, God, I accept Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son, as my Lord and Savior, we become children of the King, adopted children with a Heavenly Father who is attentive to our cries, our tears of joy, our need for forgiveness. He is there. He is there in every moment. I read a wonderful story recently that illustrated the need for us to press on in the race of faith God has called us to. In a far country lived a band of minstrels who traveled from town to town presenting music to make a living. They had not been doing well. Times were hard. There was little money for the common folk to come and hear the minstrels, even though their fee was very small. Attendance had been falling off, so early one evening the group met to discuss their plight. "I see no reason to open tonight," one said. "To make things even worse than they might have been, it started to snow." A disaster for any concert. "Who will venture out on a night like this?" they wondered. "I agree," another disheartened singer said. "Last night we performed for just a handful. Fewer will come tonight. Why not give back their meager fees and cancel the concert? No one can expect us to go out and perform when there are so few in the audience." "How can anyone do his best with so few?" a third inquired. Then he turned to the other sitting beside him. "What do you think?" The man appeared to be older than the others. He looked straight at the troop. "I know you are discouraged. I am too. But we have a responsibility for those who might come. We will go on, and we will do the best job we're capable of. It is not the fault of those who come that others do not. They should not be punished with less than the best we can give." Heartened by his words, the minstrel went ahead and did their show. They never performed better. When the show was over and the small audience gone, the old man called his troop to him. In his hand was a note. It had been handed to him by one in the audience just before the doors closed behind him. "Listen to this, my friend." Something electrifying in his tone of voice made them turn to him in anticipation. Slowly, the old man read, "Thank you for the beautiful performance." And it was signed very simply, "Your King." Are you running the race of faith for your King? He is watching from above. He's watching from below. He's watching beside, in front, and behind. Who will be watching you this week as you run the race of faith? How can we, as Christians today, win the race of faith? Well, if we hope to win the race, we must train. And Paul talked about that in the scripture that we read today. Have you ever watched an athlete train? A world-class skier will train a long time before she steps onto the snowy slopes to begin her descent at a high rate of speed. For weeks prior to the Winter Olympics, she will discipline her life. She will monitor what she eats, what she drinks, how much sleep she gets, and even what she reads and who she spends time with. And then, in preparation for the race, she will remove anything which might slow her down the slopes. No heavy clothing is worn despite the frigid temperatures. Rather, a wind, water-resistant bodysuit to give the least resistance to the wind. If we are to be champions in the race of faith, we can't expect to dabble along. We can't be half-hearted We can't be self-centered and self-indulging. We must run the race of faith with discipline, and we must remove sin from our lives because sin weighs us down. It distracts us. It makes us turn our eyes to ourselves rather than onto Christ. So, we recognize in this race of faith that God is watching as well as others, and that we have to train for the race, which is why we attend church and Bible study and learn as little ones in Sunday school the stories that are in the Bible. All those are part of our training. And the third thing we need to do is fix our eyes on the prize. Where are the eyes of the skier or the ice racer? Where do they fix their eyes? If they expect to win, he or she must fix their eyes on the end, the final point. Way down the ice they look. And it's the finish line that becomes the focus of their attention. If ice racers were to look at their opponents to see where they were, or take their gaze to the environment around them as they were racing, they would lose. We must fix our eyes on Jesus Christ if we hope to win the race of faith. And why is it Jesus that we have to focus on? First of all, he will never let us down. And secondly, anyone else that we fix our eyes on will eventually let us down. According to an old legend, a pilgrim became lost in his travels and wandered into a bed of quicksand. Confucius saw the man's predicament and said, "It is evident that this man should stay out of places such as this," and walked on. Next, Buddha observed the situation and said, "Let that man's plight be a lesson to the rest of the world," and walked on. Then Muhammad came and said to the sinking man, "Alas, it is the will of God," and walked on. Finally, Jesus appeared. "Take my hand, friend," he said, "and I will save you." Are you running the race of faith or the race of personal satisfaction, wealth, and success? The race of faith requires endurance, but there is a great reward at the end. Our reward is eternal life with Christ in heaven itself, where the angels right now are casting down their golden crowns before the King of Kings. This week, Christ has called us, each one of us, to run a race of faith. Are you ready to be used by him? Someone is watching, above, below, beside, in front, behind. And it does matter what you do this week.